This is the FCB Podcast Network.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. I, of course, am Kira Davis, and this is a podcast where we take hot topics, hot button issues, and we discuss the talking points on those issues, and we draw them out all the way to their logical conclusion. And as you know, there's been a lot going on in my own life. You can probably hear the fatigue in my voice. I'm out here working hard. I missed the episode last week, and I'm sorry about that. And because of the timeline of election season, I thought today I'm just going to do kind of a relaxed episode. So nothing too heavy hitting or hard researched, but just a discussion about some issues that are going on in the culture, because I've actually been getting questions from friends about these issues, what I think. So it's on people's minds. I thought this might be fun to do, and it's a little lighter content for me as I'm working towards election day on November 8th. Please go out and vote. And if you're in California and you need some help with that ballot, you're not sure about the measures that are on there, you're not sure about some of the candidates, go to redstate.com, find my voter guide. You can Google it, Kira Davis's 2022 voter guide. It's at Red State. It's for Californians, but if you're curious, you can look. And I kind of break down the measures in a simplified form, and same with the offices, just to give people sort of a voter guide for dummies. So if you're interested in that, go find that. Today, and before I forget, exciting news, Amelia and I are coming back with a Very Merry podcast. We're meeting this week to work out the schedule, and we've got two fall episodes coming up. We're going to do a harvest episode, and we're going to do a Thanksgiving episode, and then we are into jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way, Christmas season. I've never been more excited, actually, because I've been working so hard lately. I can't wait to just chill and have some fun with Amelia. If you've never listened to our Hallmark podcast, you really should. Even if you don't watch Hallmark movies, we have so much fun. You might think, oh, those are so cheesy and dumb. We get it. And that's why we do our podcast. It's sort of a love letter to the cheesiness and the milquetoast nature of Hallmark movies. And we love them. And so I have a lot of listeners for a Very Merry podcast that don't even watch Hallmark movies, that just listen to our podcast because it's so much fun. And Amelia and I have made believers out of people who were skeptical, listened to the podcast, and started watching Hallmark because of us and are now addicts like us. It's so much fun. If you haven't heard it, go subscribe. A Very Merry podcast. It's available almost everywhere you find your podcasts. And it's right here on FCB Radio as well. And we're going to have a lot of fun this Christmas season. So make sure you're subscribed and catch up if you haven't been listening. We have lots of fun. All right. Today is the culture episode. There's a couple of things that have been going on in our culture. I've been getting questions and I thought, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and break some of these issues down. There's three issues I want to talk about today in the culture. All right. One is this movie Bros, by Judd Apatow, or from Judd Apatow's production company. And it is a gay rom-com starring Billy Eichner, who is a gay comedian, and Luke McFarlane, who is a Hallmark hunk. I believe our first season, we named Luke McFarlane King of Hallmark. He is actually one of my favorite Hallmark hunks. And just a really, even when you see interviews with him, he just seems like a really sweet, down-to-earth guy. He's not really into all of the craziness of the Hollywood scene and fame and stuff like that. And he's just a delight to watch in the Hallmark universe. So Luke McFarlane is also the co-lead in this rom-com. And it came out a couple weeks ago and bombed. And Billy Eichner was very upset and he made some comments. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about maybe why the movie didn't do well, or that kind of stuff. Then I want to move on to Kanye West. He's been in the news. Seems like he's always in the news. And we'll break down his little fashion stunt and some of the other things he's been saying on top of that. And then I want to talk about Herschel Walker. That's more political. Some of you might not know what's going on with Herschel Walker or even who he is. I'll break that down. I've had some questions about what do we think about Herschel? What do we think about his son, Christian Walker, and the responses to Herschel's scandal that broke this month? He got a nasty October surprise. Herschel's running for Senate in Georgia. Going to talk about all that. Let's go. This is a lot to dig into in one episode. I'll try not to be long-winded. Promises, promises. Let's start with bros from Judd Apatow. Now, Judd Apatow is famously a comedy guy. He makes those raunchy comedy movies like Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad is one. He just really introduced a whole new genre of comedy. It's kind of amazing that he sort of backed away from the crassness of his earlier comedies like Superbad, just based on the changes that we've seen in the culture. It's sad, but I guess it's to be expected. But his response to what's been going on in the culture and how his film aesthetic mixes with that was to produce this movie Bros, which is a kind of a first of its kind in the respect that it is just a forgive the term, straight up gay rom-com. It's really focused on the same sex relationship but treating it like a typical rom-com. And it came out and it bombed. I think the movie cost $22 million to make. And so far, I think it's earned less than five. And Billy Eichner, who is the star of this film, I wouldn't say he's a comedian. He's a comedic actor. Someone who I love Billy Eichner. I'm a huge Billy Eichner fan. I have been since he was on Parks and Rec. He was in that final season and he played kind of a very strange employee at the Parks and Rec office with a volume control problem, which is something I have as well. And he was so good. I've loved him ever since. You can see him do Billy on the Street in Hulu, which is kind of a gonzo, like man on the street interview style comedic thing. And it's really funny. I don't know. I've always been a Billy Eichner fan. I know that he's pretty abrasive with his politics and personally when you read him online or you see what he's talking about online. But for me, for the most part, those things don't really bother me. If I see something I like, I'll watch it. And I'll try to separate the actor from what they're saying or doing. Now, that doesn't always work. Sometimes I've just had enough and I'll be like, no, this person is just, they've gone too far and I'm really not interested in the stuff they do anymore. But that's rare. I love movies and TV. So I'm pretty good at ignoring that stuff. But Billy really, really went over the top. He was very angry that this movie did not do well. After the movie debuted, he tweeted, "Last night I snuck in and sat in the back of a sold out theater playing Bros in LA. The audience howled with laughter start to finish, burst into applause at the end, and some were wiping away tears as they walked out. It's truly magical, and I'm very proud of this movie." Then he goes on to say, "Rolling Stone already has Bros on the list of best comedies of the 21st century." What's also true is that at one point, a theater chain called Universal, which is the studio behind the movie, and said they were pulling the trailer because of the gay content. Universal convinced them not to. America, F yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Eichner goes on to say, "That's just the world we live in, unfortunately. Even with glowing reviews, great Rotten Tomato scores, an A cinema score, etc., straight people, especially in certain parts of the country, just didn't show up for Bros. And that's disappointing, but it is what it is." And then he asks everyone who isn't a homophobic weirdo to go see Bros. And somebody responded, and I think this is a really good response to jump off from. Somebody responded, "See my movie or you're a homophobe is a hell of a marketing pitch." Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's talk about Billy Eichner's movie, Bros, Judd Apatow, and gay rom-coms. Now, it doesn't surprise me that this movie did not, quote, perform well at the box office. Actually, I think a $5 million haul to date, and it might be a little more, is actually pretty good for a gay movie. The problem is that they spent a lot of money making this movie, $22 million for a rom-com starring people who aren't really A-list stars. Some people have pointed out that there have been other gay-focused movies that have done very well. Brokeback Mountain is one, The Birdcage, and what's another one? Oh, Call Me By Your Name, which was creepy to me, but whatever. People loved it, did well, won Oscars. Brokeback Mountain did well, won Oscars. So I don't think it's a completely valid argument to say that the nature of the content alone is what sunk it. There were some business decisions here that were made that probably weren't that great, to spend $22 million on what is effectively a niche film. And I think that's the thing that Eichner and other people in the LGBT movement don't understand. Eichner went on to say that Hollywood is homophobic and they don't really push gay leading men. But here's my thoughts on this. Hollywood is a business. Movie making is a business. Yes, there are weird things. Sometimes Hollywood spends money on movies that are going to fail and that are just woke messaging or whatever. But even those play a purpose in what the studio is doing business-wise. At the end of the day, it's about what can make money. Well, what makes money? Audiences make money. What does Hollywood do to make money? Hollywood sells fantasy. This is why many of us, when we go to the movies and we watch a film about, let's say, a bored housewife who is learning to rediscover her independence and passion for life. Well, I don't want to go to the movies and see someone who looks like me dealing with those issues, right? Someone who looks like she's tired all the time, is raising a family, has gained all that baby weight, stretch marks, bags under her eyes, like, you know, the typical American housewife. I don't want to pay money to see that person on screen. I want to see the fantasy version of me. I want to see Halle Berry as a tired housewife who's had two kids and is trying to get her life together, right? Because she represents a fantasy. She represents the idea of someone I am and could be, right? She's a mirror to me, but she's also aspirational. That's what Hollywood sells you, a mirror, but that includes some aspirational notes to it. Most people in America are straight. That's statistical. I'm going to talk about the statistics in a minute. They're all over the place, but I tried to boil some down for you. But statistically speaking, there's no argument that the majority of Americans identify, when it comes to their sexuality, as just heterosexual. That's your main audience. If you make a film that is selling a fantasy, a gay fantasy, right? And I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean, just in the respect that Hollywood's selling fantasy. If this particular fantasy is aimed at the gay experience or that type of fantasy world, your audience for selling that fantasy is really, really limited. I love Billy Eichner, and I am a huge fan of Luke McFarlane, but I don't get anything from seeing them make out or do a romantic dance on the big screen. Because when I see Luke McFarlane, I want to imagine him as a handsome hunk who's going to carry away this middle-class housewife and, you know, to this fantasy life, and we're going to have this Hollywood romance, you know? That's the fantasy that I'm paying to see, even though I know it's never going to happen. It's just part of the appeal. I love watching Luke McFarlane because he's hot and he just fulfills this heterosexual fantasy. I'm a huge fan of Billy Eichner. He doesn't do that for me, right? He is more comedic for me, but I really, really love him. And when he is acting in other projects, he is a part of selling this fantasy to me, whether it's like a fantasy where all your friends are super funny and really cool, or a fantasy where you're struggling to get along with your family, but then you find a way to work it out and realize that you all love each other and family is what matters, right? He's a part of those sorts of things that appeal to me. I asked my husband, who loves comedy, loves Billy Eichner, loves Judd Apatow films, if he wanted to go see this movie. And he said, no, I don't really. I might check it out if it's on streaming, but I saw the trailers and I just am not into watching two guys make out. Not because he's a homophobe, he's definitely not, but because it just doesn't appeal to his need for a fantasy to be fulfilled when he's watching a film. I'm beating this dead horse, but you get it, right? It's Hollywood is supposed to appeal to our need for fantasy and larger than life depictions of real life situations. And this film just can't apply to the majority of Americans in a way that they can understand. We don't understand same sex relationships because we're not in them. And I know that there are a lot, like I can hear like my best friend saying, well, I'm gay and I've watched straight movies my whole life and enjoyed them. You know, why can't you do the same? I don't know. I don't know. You know, that's just the way it is. And it's not my fault that an industry hasn't been catering to what you want to see. But the industry has been in a lot of ways. And I know, you know, like we have a lot of our side characters who are gay now. But besides that, the industry has really tried to take up LGBT content. Look at the Logo Channel. You know what the Logo Channel is? Most of you probably don't. I don't even know if it really exists on my cable package anymore. I'll have to look. But the Logo Channel was launched, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that, with the explicit mission of airing LGBT content. I started watching the Logo Channel when it first aired because I wanted to see, well, what do you put? Like, this is a whole channel. This isn't like an hour, right? It's the LGBT hour. This is a whole channel, 24/7 of gay content. So what does that look like? How much content is there out there? So I was just genuinely curious. I started watching it and it began okay. It tried some original programming, but the original programming couldn't work. So it ended up doing reruns of LGBT shows, right? So you'd have a lot of L Word marathons, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. The Birdcage was on there a lot. And Golden Girls. I mean, the last time I checked in on the Logo Channel, it was basically 24/7 Golden Girls reruns, which isn't a bad business model. I mean, look at MTV. Have you ever looked at like MTV 2 or 3 or I think 4? They have like 4 channels now. One thing I love about MTV is that wherever you go in the country, whatever time of day or night it is, Ridiculousness is on. Right? Ridiculousness is a video clip show, and it basically runs across the MTV networks 24/7. And they do it because it makes money, right? People stop and watch that show. I know I do. When I can't find anything to watch when I'm out of town, Ridiculousness is on. So you can't do that. And that's what the Logo Channel did. But the channel began to fail financially because the audience wasn't there. They had to go out and get other content that wasn't explicitly LGBT in order to survive. The audience simply wasn't there. Let's look at these numbers.
How are we going to raise up the next generation of great American leaders and thinkers? With all of our institutions under attack, it can feel like there will be nothing left to leave our children. Join me on the Keisha King Show podcast every week where we discuss faith, culture, and politics, all geared towards the next generation. We discuss the problems in our society, but we don't just leave it there. We are determined to find solutions. Subscribe to the Keisha King Show, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really hard to find an accurate or decent representation of how many LGBT people are in America. I looked over a lot of studies and polls, and even the most academic ones admitted that it's difficult to poll this because of the changing definitions of LGBT. Like, there are people who are heterosexual who identify as LGBT these days. So it's really hard to get an accurate read. I found one from 2012 that said it was 3.5%. I found one in 2021 that said it was 7.1%. But both of those studies admitted that the definitions were changing and more people were adding themselves to that group, regardless of their actual sexual proclivities. 0.6% identify as trans. That's the one number that seemed to be consistent across the board. 0.6%. What I ended up with is an estimation, currently in this year, 2022, an estimation of our LGBTQ plus population. Now, think about how many people that encompasses. It's not just gay people. It's bisexual. It's polyamorous people, two-spirit people. Like, just keep in mind that these are all people who are adding to it. This isn't just gay people. Best I could come up with is somewhere in the ballpark, 1.2% to 7.1%. But I did some math on both ends of the spectrum. So if we take the population of America, which is about 330 million, and we ask what is, let's say, 6.8% of 330 million, that's 22,440,000 people. All right, so of that 22,440,000 people who somehow are supposedly in this LGBTQ plus designation, how many of those people like movies? Let's take, you know, let's take a quarter of that off. And then how many of those people go out to the movies? And then how many of those people are adults, can get into an R-rated movie? How many of those people don't like comedies, right? How many of those people don't like Billy Eichner? Now, suddenly your audience is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So even with that number, 22 million, which sounds impressive until you put it in the face of 330 million possible consumers, even that chunk is shrinking. So that the amount of revenue you can get from that group by aiming content at them is dwindling. If it's 1.2% of the population, and then we're looking at something like 3.9 million people. And again, shrink that down based on people who just don't like going to the movies, people who don't like comedies, people who don't like Billy Eichner, people who don't want to sit in a dark theater, people who aren't old enough to want to see a movie like that or care about it, people who don't like rom-coms. You suddenly, that is shrinking. My point is that the market is very small for this. There are people who make successful LGBTQ projects, but they aim them at smaller audiences and they don't have huge budgets. Judd Apatow poured $22 million into this movie. I mean, good for him, but that's a huge budget for a niche market. And LGBTQ plus entertainment, the entertainment market is a niche market. It is. So already on the business end, this movie was set up to fail. Apatow spent way too much money on it. And I appreciated what he was trying to do. Like, I get it. You blast the market. I think about this in my own industry. Oh, if I have more money, I could just blast the market with my image. And then people, if you make something seem popular, people will believe it's popular. But so I get what he was aiming at. Because so Hollywood has a disproportionate amount of LGBTQ people from the average American population. So to him, it might have seemed like it could work. But it was just a gross miscalculation of the mood of the American entertainment consumer. So there's that. But there is also the sexuality of the film. I watched the trailer. I was willing to give this movie a shot because I love Billy Eichner and I love Judd Apatow films. But the trailers were very explicit. What Billy seemed to identify as just typical raunchy humor was a bit over the top, I think, for the mood of most Americans. So that took another hit. Apatow really miscalculated with those trailers. He should have just kept it to the comedy stuff and then let people discover that if they felt like they wanted to venture further into this. So I don't think it's fair for Billy to blame homophobia. A, Hollywood sells us a fantasy, and most Americans in America, as opposed to most Americans other places, they are straight. Their fantasies involve that universe. The other thing to consider here is that Billy Eichner is not a big star. Brokeback Mountain, I tried to watch it, couldn't get through it. But a lot of people loved it, but it had two huge stars. It had Jake Gyllenhaal and the late, great Heath Ledger. Huge stars behind that film. Same with The Birdcage, Nathan Lane, Robin Williams. huge stars. Billy Eichner is at best a B-list star. And that's not no slight on his talent. Love him. Love watching him on TV. And he was out there selling that movie with his whole heart. I have no doubt that Billy Eichner worked as hard as he possibly could to make this film a success. And I can imagine that it is hurtful when you spend this much time on a project and other people don't appreciate it the way you do. I get that. But blaming its failure on other people, A, that's bad business. You don't blame the customer. You go back to the drawing table and you ask yourself what you could have done better, what you could have done different. That's not okay. There's a lot of reasons why this movie failed, and it's not because America is homophobic, and it's not homophobic to say I don't enjoy watching gay sex on the big screen as a heterosexual. That's not homophobia. It's not heterophobia when a gay man says I don't really enjoy watching heterosexual romance on the big screen. It's not. It's just it's preference. I told you I wasn't going to be long-winded, and here we are. Let's move on from this thing. At the end of the day, I think I've presented a pretty good case for why this film did not do well at the box office. And it has nothing to do with America's demons or because America is so homophobic. It has everything to do with the market. And I don't accept the fact that, oh, Hollywood is so homophobic. It's not homophobic. I mean, Billy, if Hollywood is homophobic, just then you need to stop insulting the average American and start making change in your own industry. Because it's your people that are producing these, casting these, paying for these. That's your industry. Those are your folks, right? We don't control what movies y'all make. You do that. And there's a large percentage of LGBTQ representation in Hollywood. So what's the problem? The problem is the market. That's the thing no one wants to be honest about. The problem is the market. So I'm sorry, Billy Eichner and Judd Apatow, that the film didn't do well at the box office, but I think you misjudged your audience. And I think Judd Apatow owes Billy Eichner a huge apology. I get the impression that he sort of misrepresented how well this film could do to Billy and got his hopes up in a way that wasn't realistic. Let's move on to Kanye.
How are we going to raise up the next generation of great American leaders and thinkers? With all of our institutions under attack, it can feel like there will be nothing left to leave our children. Join me on the Keisha King Show podcast every week where we discuss faith, culture, and politics all geared towards the next generation. We discuss the problems in our society, but we don't just leave it there. We are determined to find solutions. Subscribe to the Keisha King Show, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Kanye's had a couple of controversies in the last couple of weeks. Boy, oh boy. This guy. All right, to sum up what happened, Kanye West showed up at Paris Fashion Week with Candace Owens, and they both wore a t-shirt designed. I'm using the term designed lightly. It's just a plain t-shirt with some writing on it, but whatever, that's fashion. Designed by Kanye. Or ye, or whatever we're calling them. And of course, on the back of the t-shirt were the words White Lives Matter. So obviously it was a stunt bringing in Candace Owens to this fashion show and wearing the shirt. It was a stunt. It got tongues wagging. And of course, a lot of people were upset. There are a lot of people who don't like, you know, the response to Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, or whatever. I've actually talked about that issue on this show numerous times. If you would like to know my feelings on that, on All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter, you can go back and listen to my episodes that I recorded during the heat of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I tried to really hit both sides of that issue. I think I did a decent job. So go back and listen to those and you can find out my opinions on that. I'm only talking about what Kanye did. So Kanye is, for lack of a better term, he's a stunt queen. That's what he does. He has always been a disruptor. He has always been a provocateur of sorts. He's an artist. And I think good art does that. I think good artists do that. They push expectations. They push boundaries. And they make people ask questions. So I do appreciate that about Kanye. I'm not a huge fan of his music. I liked his more pop-friendly music, College Dropout, you know, one of my favorite albums. Even that album, though, it's pop friendly, like easy to play on the radio. And Kanye went very experimental a few years after that and still is. I talk to my son about this a lot. My son says he loves Kanye's music because of the experimental nature of it. But even College Dropout was still a groundbreaking album. Even then, Kanye was pushing boundaries, because when Kanye came on the scene, no one was doing that kind of lazy rap style that he's known for. And back then, people told him, this is never going to break through. Like, you don't even, this doesn't follow the rules of the rap genre. And it feels lazy. That people always, it's part of why the album is titled College Dropout, because a lot of people told him he was lazy. And a lazy rapper was never going to make it. But he did. And he revolutionized the industry, even the pop industry, with that album. This is who he's always been. You know, the Taylor Swift thing. I'm going to let you talk. But he's a larger than life figure who is trying to figure out how to live a very real and singular life. And he's a genius. That's the other thing. Before we get into this, I think we can all agree that he is a genius, and like most geniuses, has a lot of mental struggles. They seem to go hand in hand. I've always said this about myself. I don't think I'm crazy enough to be famous. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Because I'm not smart enough. I'm not disturbed enough. I'm disturbed to a certain extent, but not enough to be considered a genius or to be famous. There's something about those things that go hand in hand. I always caution conservatives, because Kanye came down that escalator with Trump, and you know, he was on the Trump train and the MAGA train, and he's been back and forth on that. He's the person who really blew up Candace Owens' spot. We wouldn't know who Candace Owens was if it wasn't for Kanye West, to be honest. I think she would have just faded away. And so a lot of conservatives got and get excited about Kanye. And I always tell people, look, he's a celebrity like other celebrities. He has a lot about his life that you wouldn't enjoy and wouldn't approve of. And just because a celebrity is parroting your point of view doesn't make them a martyr or doesn't make them a culture leader. Right. You have to be careful to hit who you hitch your wagon to. It's one thing to look at these people as, oh, they're interesting and the things they say are interesting. And look, isn't this interesting that Kanye agrees with me on this, that, or the other? That's interesting. But to get on that train and be like, oh, yeah, Kanye for president. No, be careful, because he's an artist at heart, and artists are fickle, fickle people. And if we've known anything about Kanye, he is very fickle. That being said, he wore this shirt to Paris Fashion Week and caused a stir. Now, I know a lot of people are like, he should be canceled. Well, if Kanye ain't been canceled yet, he is not getting canceled. He is living proof that you can't cancel anyone who doesn't want to be canceled. He just has not accepted that. He still continued. But, you know, and part of it is because in the industry, even though his colleagues, I'm sure, think he's crazy and get so angry with him, at the end of the day, they all respect his artistry. And they know that there's nobody else who does what he does. When you're good at your job, it's really hard to find people who will find fault with that, especially when your job involves making a lot of money. There are a lot of people who still make a lot of money off of Kanye. He knows that, and they know that. So a lot of them are like, well, this is Kanye being Kanye. I don't like it. You know, but the guy is a genius. And what he does is gold all the time. And this is another thing. Was the White Lives Matter shirt offensive? Well, to many people, it was. And to many people, they feel like they're done with Kanye. But at the same time, we're all talking about Kanye. We're all talking about his fashion. We're all talking about his music. We're all talking about Kanye still all the time. So is he a moron or is he a marketing genius? I guess you make the decision. The proof is in the bank accounts. I'll say this about that White Lives Matter shirt. It was designed for controversy, obviously. And that's exactly what it did. Created controversy. Again, when you're asking, well, how do you feel about that term, Kira? Go back and listen to my other episodes. This isn't really about the term. But I do want to make a comment on the artistry of what he did, because good art asks questions and good art provokes response. So that's why when every Paris Fashion Week season, all of you see on Facebook or Twitter, somebody you know, your friend, your family member, posts a meme that'll be of some ridiculous looking model walking down the runway at Fashion Week, and they're wearing, you know, something completely outrageous, just men in garbage bags or women with huge shoulder pads and, you know, bikini bottoms, or it just looks like the most ridiculous thing. And people always point to that as like, look how perverse these people are. They don't understand what the average person wants. Paris Fashion Week is an art show, and high fashion is art. So it does look strange. It does look weird. It's supposed to look weird. Then what happens is those trends get distilled into more practical, ready-to-wear items that we all know as trending fashion. But it starts as art at the top. And that's what Paris Fashion Week is. So don't be too critical of it. It's an art show, really. And that's what high fashion is. And so good art asks questions and provokes a response. And that's exactly what his White Lives Matter t-shirt did. Of course, we know what the response has been, but it also was designed to ask a question. If Black Lives Matter, do White Lives Matter? And when I've been looking at the responses to those shirts and that stunt with Candace Owens, there are a lot of people who have answered that question no. And I think that's really interesting. So it's provoked this response and forced people to answer a question that really should have an easy answer. Hispanic Lives Matter. Your mom's life matters. You get the point. That in each different group, does that group of people matter? It's an artistic question. Politically speaking, you might have a range of answers from yes, of course, all lives matter, to what you've seen going around lately, which is like, no, you know, screw white people. They've had all this time to have whatever they want, and now it's someone else's time. All kinds of responses, but responses nonetheless. I think it was a interesting question to ask, and it was a challenging question because it says a lot about a person by the way they answer it. And it's a question that has been a bit taboo, and art is about the taboo. If your art is not pushing boundaries, this is why I don't believe the government should be involved in funding art at all. We talk about this every year when we're doing budgets and your politicians, mostly Democrat politicians, come around and they say, we're going to pour more funding into the arts. And no, I do not believe government should be funding art at all. Government and art should not be related at all, because if government controls art, government controls the people that push boundaries. You can't be beholden to your government and make the kind of art that provokes and disturbs and asks questions and bucks the system. The two don't go hand in hand. Good art asks questions. And I just think Kanye is a great artist. He's always asking questions. Even if I don't buy any of Kanye's stuff. The last thing I bought of Kanye's was College Dropout. I don't buy his stuff. I'm not a fan of Kanye West, the artist. I'm a fan of Kanye West, the creator, and the way he runs his business. And I find him fascinating. But I'm not one of his consumers, but I can appreciate what he's doing. Well, here's the reason why you don't hitch your wagon to Kanye West. I know a lot of y'all conservatives out there were super pumped about his White Lives Matter shirt, because it felt like kind of a middle finger to the woke set. And I get that. I'm actually not judging you for that. I get that. But this is why you can't get on the Kanye train. You can look and you can be interested, but without a doubt, at some point, Kanye's going to turn around and bite you in the butt. And he did. He got his Twitter account back, right? Elon's making moves to finally get this deal done. I cannot wait, because the shadow ban on my account is insane. It's probably the worst it's ever been. None of my tweets get off the ground. People aren't seeing what I'm tweeting. I have 75,000 followers and I'm almost invisible on Twitter at this point. So I can't wait for the shadow bans to be lifted. But then in a weird tweet late at night the other night, he tweeted out, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going to go DEFCON 3. I think that's supposed to be DEFCON, but whatever. I don't expect Kanye to know that. But when I wake up, I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. And then he says, the funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda. Oof, Lord. I'm so curious about this because he hangs around Candace Owens, who is married to a Jewish man. I'm just curious as to how that all squares with her, but I have no way to know. She, as far as I know, she hasn't commented. But yeah, I read that. I thought someone hacked his account. I was like, did someone hack Kanye's account? I read that tweet to my, he tweeted it out. I read it 2 minutes after it went out. I'm like, this can't be real. And then sure enough, it was real. So yeah, that's a problematic tweet, to say the least. I do find it vile, this tweet, you know, and sad. And but I also find it an interesting peek into Kanye's mind. The thing is, I learned to do this with Donald Trump. He would tweet things and I would read the reports of the tweets. I wouldn't read the tweets themselves. I would read the reports, and of course the reports were always at DEFCON 3, to quote Kanye. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Can you believe Donald Trump? Yada, yada, yada. But then I would go directly to his Twitter feed to read the stuff. And some of it would give you pause. You'd be like, oh. But the question I learned to ask was, well, is it true? First of all, he's saying this crazy thing, but is it true? And to Kanye, I can see him in his mind thinking like, well, I'm just telling the truth. You know, I'm dealing with this in this industry, and, you know, there's a lot of people that I'm dealing with that think differently from me and believe differently from me. And I'm looking at them as people who have my fate in their hands. Like, it makes me wonder about what the truth is of that sentiment to Kanye, because his brain is, well, we've talked about it. It's interesting. Like, what does he think is true about that statement? And why does he think that's true? Or was he just on Ambien? And, it, you know, either way, it's an issue. And, you know, I don't approve of this tweet. I don't enjoy it. And it feeds discrimination. That's something that a black man should never be doing, is feeding discrimination. But am I taking it too seriously? No, because I don't really take Kanye too seriously, period. Just take him as Kanye, an artist who has a lot of challenges mentally and emotionally. But that's why you don't go hitching your wagon to some celebrity because they're saying what you think. This annoys me about conservatives. We will run down progressives all day long over their obsession with celebrity opinions, right? Because we're like, you're getting your opinions from people who live behind gated, you know, who live in gated communities, who walk around with security, who make more money in a year than most Americans could hope to make in their lifetimes, who live in coastal bubbles, who don't have the challenges of wondering how they're going to pay for gas or pay for their kids' education. Like, this is, it's the great bubble. And you guys get all your opinions from these people who aren't living average lives. But then we turn around and do the same thing. As soon as one of those celebrities takes a turn and gets red-pilled, we're like, look at what Kanye said. Look at what X celebrity said or Y celebrity said. They're a hero now. Look, stop making heroes out of celebrities. Just take what they say is interesting and form your own opinions on it. But as soon as you start hitching your political wagon or your opinion wagon to these people, you're going to get burned. Because these people live in a world that is so completely foreign to us. And they're also used to being able to say whatever they want to whoever they want because of their money and influence. And so they will. And sometimes, like this tweet, there are things that make us uncomfortable and that aren't right. You don't want to be connected to that as, oh, this is a part of my ideology, because now this guy agrees with me on whether or not I should be able to wear a MAGA hat. Just be careful. Just be careful. Kanye's nobody you should be looking to as a leader. Just look at to him as an interesting artist and a disruptor, and that's what he is. So I was disappointed with this tweet. Anyway, that's how I feel about this. Y'all be careful with Kanye. He's an interesting guy. That's it.
How are we going to raise up the next generation of great American leaders and thinkers? With all of our institutions under attack, it can feel like there will be nothing left to leave our children. Join me on the Keisha King Show podcast every week, where we discuss faith, culture, and politics, all geared towards the next generation. We discuss the problems in our society, but we don't just leave it there. We are determined to find solutions. Subscribe to The Keisha King Show, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on quickly. Let's talk about Christian Walker. Christian Walker is the son of Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker is a former NFL star, and he is running for Senate in Georgia. He's running against Raphael Warnock. And Herschel Walker got a pretty nasty October surprise recently when word got out that he paid a mistress of his to abort her baby, their baby. And Herschel Walker has been vocally pro-life. And when this news came out, the Walker campaign and Walker himself denied that he knew who the woman was. And then she came forward and said, you know me, I'm the mother of one of your children, of which he's had several out of wedlock outside of his marriage. I'm the mother of one of your children. You know who I am. And he paid me to have an abortion when I was pregnant again. This is obviously a moral hit for a candidate who is campaigning on bringing back traditional American values to American politics. And it was definitely, I'm not going to lie, a heavy hit for the Herschel Walker campaign based on his own. It's not like, I don't agree with this whole thing that's like, oh, Democrats can do whatever they want and live what kind of lives they want. But as soon as a Republican does something that's a bit untoward, then it's like, oh, look, you guys, you look at you, the family values crowd, you're such hypocrites. Like, as long as you're not a hypocrite, it makes perversion okay. You know, I'm not into that. But at the same time, Herschel Walker is campaigning as this pro-life candidate. And here this comes out. And the other thing that is interesting is that he denied it, even though it was true and there was proof that it was true. So his son, Christian Walker, since his dad has become a public figure in politics, Christian Walker's star has risen as well. Christian Walker is gay. He identifies as same-sex attracted. Christian Walker is an interesting guy. I have a lot of friends who are fans of his. He's got a great Instagram account. Goes on a lot of rants. He's goofy. He's funny. He's silly. He's irreverent. Very conservative. And he definitely identifies as same-sex attracted. And he doesn't deny that. And he doesn't run from it. He's not trying to not be that. But he also identifies as someone who doesn't want to be included in this sort of LGBTQ cabal that has become a huge mess. He doesn't want to be included in that. So because of those very interesting viewpoints, he's really become a very popular figure on social media. And no doubt it's because of his dad. We wouldn't know who he was because of his dad. He recognizes that. He clearly did not have a good relationship with his dad growing up. But it seems like they've tried to repair it, and he really got behind his dad for this campaign. But when this broke, Christian just went completely rogue. He broke right off and he took to his social media and just destroyed his dad on social media. Like, no grace at all. He was just like, he was mad. So I'll play you his comments.
I stayed silent as the atrocities committed against my mom were downplayed. I stayed silent when it came out that my father, Herschel Walker, had all these random kids across the country, none of whom he raised. And you know my favorite issue to talk about is father absence. Surprise, because it affected me. That's why I talk about it all the time, because it affected me. Family values, people. He has four kids, four different women, wasn't in the house raising one of them. He was out having sex with other women. Do you care about family values? I was silent lie after lie after lie. The abortion card drops yesterday. It's literally his handwriting in the car. They say they have receipts, whatever. He gets on Twitter. He lies about it. Okay, I'm done. Done. everything has been a lie. And so for the right to say, I'm being suspicious for saying, hey, I'm done with the lies, when you all have been calling me saying, is this true about your dad? Gosh, we're not gonna win Georgia, this candidate, all that's been you. You have no idea what I've been through in my life. You have no idea what me and my mom have survived. We could have ended this on day one. We haven't. I haven't told any stories. I'm just saying, don't lie. Don't lie on my mom. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on the lives you've destroyed and act like you're some moral family man. Y'all should care about that, conservatives. And then for people on the left to act as though I'm responsible for all of the things that he has done. I've talked about Father Epps. I've talked all these issues because they've been close to me. Because they matter to me, because I went through it. That's why I've talked about it. So when you say, well, talk about your dad, but I am. I'm saying this behavior is atrocious. Don't come for me. You don't have to like my apology. You don't have to like me. You don't have to. I'm just saying I'm done with the lies. We were told at the beginning of this, he was going to get ahead of his past, hold himself accountable, all of these different things, and that would have been fine. Go ahead. He didn't do any of that. Everything's been a lie. Everything's been downplayed. Everything's been cutting corners. The whole thing. And whose expense is that at? Me, my mom, as we're chased down by the media, we're terrorized, all these different things. People are questioning my authenticity. I'm done. Don't lie. Don't put this on me. This is a candidate issue, not a me issue.
I'm with Christian. I'm standing with Christian on this one. I had a friend call me the other day, a very conservative friend, and say, what am I supposed to think of this Kira? I'm rooting for Herschel Walker and I love Christian Walker. And then when he went off on his dad, I was just so mad at him and I just unfollowed him right away. And I just can't believe that he would do this to his dad. And that seems to be the response that Christian is responding to in this piece. And I gotta say, I'm standing with Christian. Now, there's a difference between do I think Herschel Walker would make a good senator for Georgia and do I think Herschel Walker is an upstanding moral person. I think those are different things. And by the way, I can't vote in Georgia. At the end of the day, this will be up to the citizens of Georgia. The voters of Georgia will decide if this makes a difference to them. The guy on the other side isn't like the greatest either. He's got his own moral issues that have really depressed his poll numbers. And Walker has been pulling ahead until recently, but they're both kind of flatlined. So they both have issues. It's not like Walker's, oh no, this is it. That other guy has a ton of issues that Walker's campaign is still hitting. So I can't tell you what is going to happen in the election. That'll be up to the voters, and Herschel Walker will have to convince the voters that despite what they've seen on social media, that he can represent them in the Senate to their satisfaction. That'll be for them. But what I said was, when I saw Christian's comments, I didn't see a traitor. And conservatives, please, I am so distressed by this point of view that he's somehow a traitor because he put his dad on blast. I didn't hear a social media personality turning his back on the conservative movement when I saw that. That's not what I heard. I heard a little boy who's hurt. I heard, and I've known that about Christian Walker since the start, the first time I saw a video from Christian Walker, I identified that second that he was a kid who had a very strained relationship with his father. When you work in youth services, which I have in the past and in education, you spot those kids a mile away. There's just an aura. It's an energy. It just exudes. And he himself says, I talk about father absence all the time because mine was absent. And I do the same, right? I talk about the absence of Black fathers and the necessity for Black men in the home and to stand up in the community all the time because it affected me personally. And I get that. And I heard a young man who said, see, some of y'all, this actually upsets me that so many conservatives are actually upset with Christian Walker. He did nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Some of you are more upset with Christian for being upset than you are with Herschel Walker for lying. I'm with Christian on this one. Again, I think Herschel Walker can do, I think he'll be better than the Democrat senator, to be honest. I think he'll be better. I think Georgians should vote for him because I think at the end of the day, he'll be a better representative for what Georgia needs. But that being said, I totally get where Christian's coming from and I'm standing with him because I'm with him when he says, you know what? When we got into this, I read other quotes from him where he was saying, look, we begged him not to run because we knew all this stuff was in his past and we didn't want him to have to answer for it publicly and then bring heat on the family. And he said, no, I'm going to be upfront with this. I'm going to come correct with it. I'm going to own it and talk about being a changed man. And I think if that had been the case, I think I and his son and the people around him would have been just fine with that explanation. You know what? I was a different man. I was scared, confused, immature. And I'm trying to be a different person now. And that's why I'm running for Senate, because I want to serve my community, maybe in the way that I wasn't able to serve my family as they were growing up. That was my mistake. I own it. And I'm trying to be a better man. Christian sounds like he would be willing to accept that. And I know as a child, most children are willing to accept those types of mea culpas from their parents because we all just want our parents to love us and to love our parents. And it's obvious to me that Christian has been trying. I can see that he's been trying and he's been on board with his dad and his campaign and they've been trying to repair this relationship. But his dad is lying. You know, he lied. He lied outright about this. And then he let those lies cast negative aspersions on his own family. Christian put it very succinctly. We could have blown up this campaign right from the start. We didn't because we wanted him to win. And because he assured us that he was going to own this behavior and come clean so that it didn't have to be some nasty secret. And that's not what Herschel Walker did. And that's what disappoints me the most about his response. And that's what disappoints me the most about conservatives who are giving Christian a hard time while giving Herschel a pass. That's a bridge too far for me. Again, I would still vote for Herschel Walker if I was in Georgia, probably because of the alternative. And for better or for worse, we have this two-party system. And so if you're not voting for him, you're voting for the other guy. And I just don't think Democrats have proven that they deserve to be in power right now in Washington, D.C. But that's my opinion as a Californian, someone who does not cast a vote in Georgia. But as far as Christian Walker's comments are concerned, I'm standing with Christian. I heard the pain and the frustration in his voice. And I think conservatives, it's just wrong. And it just goes to show the fickle nature of politics. Again, this is why you don't hitch your wagon to Kanye West and then have to backtrack when he tweets something crazy like he did on Saturday night. And that's why you don't go all in on a personality. For a lot of conservatives, Christian was great when he was out there giving hell to the LGBT lobby. But the second he had something to say about this black man who happens to be his father, who's a Republican running in Georgia, who has a very legitimate scandal breaking, all of a sudden he's a traitor. I can't get on board with that. All right. So this is the culture issue. I think we'll wrap it up there. Let me know what you think. What do you think about what Christian did? Are you angry with him? Are you disappointed with him? And what are your feelings on what Herschel did and how that makes you feel? If you're in Georgia, I'd really love to hear from you. If it's made a difference to you at all, if you're going to vote for him anyway, let me know. JLTY@protonmail.com. JLTY@protonmail.com. Let me know what you think about Kanye and the White Lives Matter shirt and that weird, weird tweet on Saturday night. JLTY@protonmail.com. And did you go see Bros? Why or why not? JLTY@protonmail.com. Don't forget, subscribe to A Very Merry Podcast right now so you don't miss our new episodes that are going to come up in the next month or so. And then we move right into Christmas season. And I'll tell you what, I've been working so hard. I am going to enjoy the heck out of this Very Merry Podcast season. I cannot wait to just go out and have some fun and not think about anything serious for a moment. Don't forget to rate and review this show. I'm struggling because I'm not producing a lot of content while I run this race. And so that means that my clicks are down that's going to change. It'll all get back up when I get back to working on a regular basis. But if you can help me, if you want to help me, the thing you can do is hit that like button, hit that rate and review. Give us a rating and give us a review. It makes all the difference and help push me over the finish line here in Orange County. Thanks to everybody who listens to Just Listen to Yourself. We'll catch you next time. Until then, just remember, every once in a while, just stop and listen to yourself.
I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.